Hello and welcome to this edition of the Business Life Coach podcast. Hope you are well. Hope business is going well. And moreover, you're actually looking after yourself. Guys, we've got another special guest for you. So do you know what? We're going to get straight into the interview. I'll be on the back end to give you some ideas about show notes and where you can go for the links and stuff like that. But here comes the interview. With me for today's podcast is another special guest. She was mentioned on the last podcast, so much so that I actually went out and even bought her book. We are joined today by Leela Sinner from just outside Portland in the United States. Hello, Leela. How are you?
Hi, I'm really well. And I just want to clarify, that's Portland, Maine. There's a Portland, Oregon that gets a lot more press.
Yeah, you see, honestly, it's just a typical Brit just getting it wrong as usual. But, you know, they're fine. You know, we've got York, you've got New York. You just have to do it better. That's fine. Leela, obviously, tell us a little bit about you, why you wrote the book. And I'm going back to this because April last week mentioned this book called You're Not Too Much, Intensive Lives in an Expansive World. And I went ahead and I started reading it, and I've done the test in there as well myself, and it would be fair to say that I'm an intensive, and I'm sure we'll come on to that. I'm sure we'll come on to that later. But what made you write a book like this?
Well, you know, what actually made me write the book was I was trying to describe my own situation, my own life. It was a very personal beginning. I had a back injury 2 years ago in December, and I was immobilized for 3 months. And the challenge with lying there on your back for 3 months, not really even able to turn over, is that you start to think. And at first, thinking seems like a good idea. And the longer you think, maybe the longer it's not such a great idea. And so I started out thinking about all the things that had gone well in my life, and then I started thinking about all the things that had not gone well, and then I started to realize that I and the people that I work best with in my coaching practice and the people that I interact best with in my life, my best friends, tend to be intensives, and we didn't have a word for it. I was lying there trying to think of how to describe this quality of being too much. Because all of us have been told that we're too much, and people have backed off from us and left us, and we've lost relationships and jobs because we're too much. And I started to think, well, what if this too muchness isn't a bad thing? Mm-hmm. What if it's not too much? What if it's just a way of being? And then I started to think about all the other characteristics that went with it, and pretty soon I had this personality framework, and then I knew I had to start writing about it. And when I started to write about it on Facebook, I got so much response. The first time I posted, I got like 53 responses. And I don't usually get that kind of traffic on my Facebook posts. And so I knew I had something. Mm-hmm. And so I wrote, you know, a few blog posts, and I wrote some essays that I kind of tucked away in my files. And after a while, it became really clear that what I had was a whole book.
Cool. Okay. So talk to me about the difference between intensives and expansives. And I think, you know, once people hear it, they're probably all going to be sat there going, oh, I know somebody who's exactly like that.
You know? Yeah, it's a very sticky concept. So intensives are people who are intense. We often find out that we're intense when we're really young and someone tells us we're too much, we're too loud, we're too active, we're too emotional, we're too enthusiastic. We have this bigness of experience of the world and a bigness of expression of ourselves in the world that often gets shunted to the side or squished when we're younger, if we have a lot of expansives around us, which we probably do. So expansives are the other end of the spectrum. Expansives like things moderate and moderated and even-keeled and even-tempered. And so an intensive, given a giant project that should, in our expansive-oriented world, should take a month. An intensive will do all of the work in the first 4 days or the last 4 days of the month and then take the rest of the month off. Mm-hmm.
In other words, they're like almost like what is it? A Tasmanian devil, really?
The yes.
Cartoon character. Yeah, they're like an absolute whirlwind, and then eventually stop.
Yes. Whereas an expansive will set aside 2 hours a day every day for the entire month and take weekends off, and by the end of the month, the project will be done. So both people will get the project done in a month, but one person will get it done by working 14, 18, 22 hours a day for 4 days. And the other one will say, no, why would I do that? I'm going to do it 2 hours a day.
So, we've got one extreme to the other. Absolutely. What are the characteristics of an expansive, an intensive? What are the characteristics of a typical intensive person?
So an intensive person, one of the key characteristics, one of the most common characteristics, is that you work like hell and you rest like you're dead. There's this, we tend to live our lives in this really intensely phasic way. So you will have a phase of really intense work followed by a phase of nothing. And you can see that reflected in things like my Patreon, where I posted 4 or 5 things 1 month, and then there were 2.5 months where nothing happened. And then this last month, I posted 4 things in the last week.
Wow.
So we have this phasic work. We tend to do everything like that. So when I get to know somebody as a friend, when an intensive gets to know someone as a friend, we like to be right up together with them, in their face, all the time, in their pockets. We want to know everything. We want to have breakfast, lunch, dinner. We want to be on text and Skype and everything. We want to get to know each other right away. We spend like 2.5 weeks getting to know each other all the way down to the bone. And then we back off because we know each other. We know that the other person is there for us. Like we've assured ourselves of that person's presence. And then the next time something relevant to the relationship happens, whether it's 4 weeks later or 2 months later or 2 years later, we get on the phone and we say, hey, the thing happened. And the other person says, if they're an intensive, they say, hey, the thing totally happened. I'm coming over with pizza and beer and we're going to talk. And, you know, or in Britain, it might be, you know, biscuits and tea. I'm not sure. But, it's that really all in. When I'm in. I'm with you, and then I need to rest. I need to back off. I need to breathe.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So there's a very interesting part in your book, which is called The Care and Feeding of Your Intensive Brain. Now I'm guessing, and this, you know, please tell me if I'm wrong. I'm guessing people who are intensive, and for the listeners of the podcast, yes, I have done the test. I am an intensive person. My friends and my family will probably tell you that that is absolutely correct. I am kind of all or nothing. Always have been, probably always will be. And regular listeners to podcasts will probably also know that this year I have had some health issues caused by my intensity. I simply burnt down and broke down. Burnt up and broke down, that type of thing. Not proud of it, but we've got to go through it just to come back stronger. I'm guessing that people that are intensive are more likely to suffer from burnout and some mental health issues than perhaps people who are, you know, a little bit more, you know, expansive, a little bit more passive with life. Would I be right?
I haven't done a study, so I can't say for sure. I would say that you're probably correct. What I have found in terms of burnout is that it's the interaction of an intensive personality with an expansive world structure. So one of the premises of the book is that our world is created to favor, our culture has been created to favor expansive behavior. You know, we go to school where we're supposed to show up at 9 and leave at 5. You know, like we create these very rhythmic days that are supposed to be exactly alike and predictable. And we're supposed to like that. We're supposed to think that that's awesome. And some people do. And for some people, that's awesome. And they're expansives. Because if you tell me that I have to be in the same place at the same time every day for the next 2 years, I will scream. And then I will run away crying. So what happens to us, we have this phasic work cycle. And we tend to learn from our environments, learn from the people around us, learn from the expansive culture we grow up in. We tend to learn that we are supposed to be able to sustain that peak level of production through the entire month. Mm-hmm. To go back to my work example. So if you have a boss who's an expansive and they hire you and they see that you can be productive at that peak level, they expect you to show up every day for the whole month and produce at that level, and you can't. Mm-hmm. You can't. You have to have an enormous amount of rest time so that you can build up the resources to do that big push of work. And so when we expect that of ourselves, that we're going to maintain our product productivity or production level at that incredibly fast pace, we burn ourselves out.
Yes, we do. Yeah, it's, you know, it really is going absolute hell for leather. So how can we look after if we are an intensive person? Don't worry, expansives, we'll come on to you. if you are an intensive person, how can you best try to start looking after yourself?
The very first thing you should do is pay attention to how you feel, which you have probably been taught to ignore since you were very small. So when your body tells you stop, you have to stop. And when your body tells you go, you have to go. Because when you don't go when you're ready, then you get all this pent-up energy. And it's kind of like a lot of the work they're doing on trauma now. You know, you end up with this festering pool, this roiling, boiling pool of energy and possibility that then has to go somewhere, and often it doesn't go anywhere pretty. So learning to produce when your body says produce and rest when your body says rest is the very first most important thing you can do. And that's hard if you have a regular office job and you haven't found your way into some kind of creative pursuit or entrepreneurship. Or if you found yourself into a kind of entrepreneurship that requires that kind of regularity, you have to figure out how to juggle things around so that when you're ready, you can produce that enormous amount of material and then bank it. Bank it so that you can take the time that you need to rest, to stare at the ceiling, to binge watch on Netflix, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. So how would you, if in a work environment, as an example, you've got an intensive, mm-hmm. you've got somebody that's absolutely, you know, working their socks off, absolutely going hell for leather. How would you advise an expansive to deal with them? Because I could imagine sort of like if you have complete extremes, that would cause a little bit of friction within the workplace, to say the least. So how would you best sort of suggest that an expansive deals with an intensive?
You know, there's a whole section in the book about this, but what it really boils down to on both sides of the line is that you have to leave room for the other person to be who they are. So as an expansive, let's say you're an expansive manager with an intensive employee. As an expansive manager, you have to recognize that your intensive employee is going to have periods of intense work and periods of intense rest. So the first thing you have to do is stop worrying when they look like they're slacking off. They probably are, because that's what they have to do. So stop thinking that that's a problem. The next thing you can do is figure out how to stack their work in their productive periods. So when they're in go mode, when they're in the up phase of their cycle, you can keep handing them stuff and they'll keep going. They'll just keep going. And if you feel like you can't do it that way, keep a running list, or have them keep a running list, or have them have an inbox and just don't worry about how much stuff stacks up in the inbox. So the expansive manager can learn the pattern of the intensive employee and then handle the workflow such that the intensive employee does the work in accordance with their schedule, their personal work schedule. And as a manager, often you're in a position where you can buffer for employees between an employee and another employee. So if you have an expansive and an intensive working on the same project, you can adjust and explain and set up the project so that the intensive is doing mostly intensive tasks, things that require a lot of focus over a short period of time. And the expansive is doing mostly expansive tasks, things that require regular, deliberate intention over a period of time. And if you're an accountant and you've hired an intensive, maybe you need to rethink that.
Okay, cool. So I find this absolutely fascinating because obviously I'm on one end of the scale. I really am.
Sure.
How can expansives look after themselves as well? Because you know, especially in this sort of situation where they may be working with an intensive, and I can only imagine that could be probably the most irritating thing for them going. What sort of tips would you give them to sort of like look after themselves without sort of like the intensive driving them mad?
Well, again, the first thing is to recognize how they work and how the intensive works, and remove all judgment, because it's the judgment that makes you crazy. Mm-hmm. And then an expansive can set boundaries and rhythms and limits and ask for, and this is harder for expansives to do, but if an expansive can ask for specifically what they need, often the intensive is happy to meet them there. As long as what the expansive is asking for isn't show up at every day at 9 a.m. and stay on task until 12 p.m., take 45 minutes for lunch, and then get back on task and stay there until 5 p.m. Your intensive is never going to do that, so don't ask for it. But if you need, you know, if you need to know for your own peace of mind that the project is at least 80% done by 2 days before the end of the month, then sit down and talk to the intensive and say, listen, I know you work in these intense phases, but what I need from you is I need a progress report that shows that we're 80% done 2 days before the end of the month. And if that means I need to set your actual deadline 2 days earlier, then I'm willing to do that. Because some intensives work best under pressure and will wait until the last 4 days if it's a four-day project. And if the manager needs to see 90% or 80% done, then be willing to shift your timelines. Be willing to shift your deadline. Say, I need to see it 2 days before that. So for you, the deadline is the 28th. For me, the deadline is the 30th.
Right. Okay. Cool. So tell us a little bit more about your history, because obviously it's, you know, there's a part of the book here where sort of, you know, you're living with depression and things like that. And obviously, you know, this is part of what the podcast is about. It is a business podcast, but it's about looking after you, the main asset.
Mm-hmm.
So I always find people's stories really, really interesting. So tell us a little bit about sort of like, you know, obviously it's led up to you, you know, sort of like writing the book, but sort of like, tell us a little bit more about you, the person, and why, you know, all this means so much to you.
Good gracious, there's so much to tell. I'll see if I can be short about it. So I grew up in southwestern Connecticut. My mom and my dad are still married. They still live in southwestern Connecticut. And I grew up, most of my childhood, I was depressed. And there are probably a number of different reasons for that, some of them biochemical and some of them situational. But what it meant was that I learned how to manage my brain. I tried antidepressants as a young adult, and I found them really unhelpful. They gave brain fog, and I didn't actually get any relief from them. And so I learned that if I was going to survive, I had to be able to understand what was going on in my head enough to maneuver around it. It was like the inside of my head was an obstacle course, and I had to learn parkour in order to just to get through my day, like just to get up, get dressed, you know, go to school, go to class in college, go to work when I got out of college, get home, eat food, you know, sometimes managing my depression meant that I didn't get my dishes done, or I didn't get my floor vacuumed, and that had hoovered, and that had to be okay. Like I had to learn to accept imperfection, which for an intensive is incredibly difficult. But I had to learn that survival had to come first, and learning that also involved learning that it was going to have to be all right for me to shift my priorities around and accept who I was, and then embrace who I was, and then start to see who I was and who I am as an asset rather than a liability.
Right. Okay. So, yeah, there's parts of this book that just make me laugh out loud. Tell us about how, when I ended up doing the test, and there will be a link to it on the show notes as well, because actually it's an extraordinary amount of questions that you have to ask. So how did you come up with the test to get a scalable of whether you were, you know, so laid back you'd fall over, or whether you were like the Tasmanian devil?
You know, the assessment came out of, people kept asking me, how do I find out if I'm an intensive or not? And I said, well, read the description and you'll just know. But a lot of people really wanted an assessment. And so I started thinking about it. And of course, once I started writing this book and once the book started to really come to life, I've had an enormous number of conversations with people about their intensiveness or their expansiveness or their partner's intensiveness or their partner's expansiveness or their kids. There's a whole thing that happened with kids. And as that started to take shape, it became really clear that it wasn't just, you know, you couldn't just pinpoint someone by saying, well, are you too much or not? But there was a whole cluster of behaviors that went with intensiveness and a whole cluster of behaviors and expectations that went with expansiveness. And so I started, when I started to draft the assessment, I just started writing down characteristics, questions and characteristics and statements. And I have, you know, my educational background includes a degree in divinity. I have a master's of divinity, which is a parish ministry degree. And that's a 4-year master's degree. And I have an undergraduate degree, and I've done an enormous amount of personal research on mental health. And I keep up to date in the mental health field because I find it, even though I'm not a mental health practitioner, that coaching requires a lot of that information of me or is benefiting from a lot of that information in me. So I brought all of that to bear. I've taken a number of personality inventories and I had all this experience and all these conversations. And so I just created it, an equal number of questions for each side of the scale. And then I spent an enormous amount of time on Facebook working with some of my math geek friends to figure out how to make the scoring work. I would love at some point to see a sociologist take it up and actually norm it. It's not normed. It's the best I can do. But what it is, this is my experience. These are things that indicate expansiveness. These are things that indicate intensiveness. And then the math works out as to where you are on this 10-point scale. How many yeses of each did you do, and how they relate to each other. The scoring is actually based on a ratio between the two sets of yeses.
Right. Okay, cool. So what's next for you then, Leela? Obviously you've got one book under your belt. Have we got some more books coming out?
I am thinking about, I haven't actually begun writing, but there's definitely been interest in a book on relationships, interest in a book on parenting. I'm not a parent, so I feel a little bit weird with that one. But parents are finding this really useful when they realize they have an intensive child, because children turn out to have a whole set of intensive characteristics that are identifiable often from a very young age that cause some conflict and some stress with regard to their schooling, and with regard to their caregiving. And when parents can know that they're dealing with an intensive, it just takes this whole burden off of their shoulders, because the parents think that they're doing something wrong, and they're not. They're just trying to apply all of this parenting literature, which is mostly expansive, to intensive children, and it doesn't work. So there's interest in material for parents. There's interest in material about leadership. And then the last section, which you haven't quite gotten to, is about how this bias arose out of the imperialist era and how it's gotten integrated with racism. And so how we can use knowing this and seeing it to help to start to dismantle some of the racism that we deal with here in the U.S. and in some other similar cultures. So there's a lot of possibility for books, but I haven't started writing any of them yet.
Did you find the process cathartic? Did you enjoy it?
I enjoyed some of it. I'm an intensive, so I got 80% into it, and then I was bored. Because the 80% problem is definitely a thing. But I did finish. By the time I got 80% into it, I'd had so many rewarding interactions with people that I knew that it had to be finished. I couldn't just let it sit on a shelf and mold.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Leela, do you know what? It's been absolutely fantastic talking to you. Really appreciate it. Guys, if you want to go and get the book, I will put I'll put the link on the show notes. And the book is called You're Not Too Much, Intensive Lives in an Expansive World. I'll also put the link to the questions on there as well, so you can give yourself a test to see whether you are an intensive or an expansive. That'll be quite interesting. Leela, absolutely fantastic. Thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. It's been a pleasure.
Another really good interview there, guys. Hope you agree. Some very honest answers to my questions. Look, guys, you've got to remember this podcast is about business and it's about life as well, because you are your business's biggest asset. You guys don't look after yourself. Do you know what? Your business isn't going to look after you. And effectively, you're going to break down. And we don't want you to be in that position. So look, next week, we'll get back to a little bit more of a businessy subject, just to try and keep the balance. I think that's probably fair enough. So guys, if there is anything you want me to cover, just email mark@businesscoaching.coach. That's mark@businesscoaching.coach. And let's see if we can cover that subject. Maybe even get a special guest in for you, which would be superb. Go and have a look at the show notes. Go and try the quiz and all that sort of bits and pieces. There'll be a couple of freebies there for you from me. Until next time, be brilliant, and I'll see you on the other side. Take care. Bye-bye.